If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I have no idea whether this is on or off. I'm on. Okay. All right. So, appreciate the creativity there. You know, that's, sometimes we kind of get in ruts and we don't use what God's given us. We all kind of have some gifts that we can give God, you know, and that whether it's playing a guitar, working with kids, whatever it is, you know, God's given you to do, use that. Use your imagination. Use those things that God has given you to kind of further his kingdom. That's a great thing. So appreciate that. So we're going to play a game. All right. Every language has its own collection of wise sayings. You know, they offer advice about how to live and also transfer some underlying ideas about the principles. And so, we're going to play a little interaction here, so I need some participation, okay? If I say it's like a hot potato, what do I mean? It's going to be a long night, okay? What's that? To get rid of it fast. Whew, thank you. All right. So maybe I should have planted some people to answer the question. All right, how about to add insult to injury? Make things worse, all right? All right, so that's good. So it goes from bad to worse. It costs me an arm and a leg. It's expensive, right? It costs a lot, all right? I'm going to do that at the drop of a hat. Quick, all right? Back to the drawing board. All right, so, hey, you're getting the hang of it. That's good, all right? So, the best thing since sliced bread. It's very good, all right? What's that? Oh, I didn't hear that. I'm half deaf, too, by the way. I can't hear out of this ear. And this one's working on that other one. Sorry, anyway. A blessing in disguise. Something good about to happen. All right, that's good. All right? You can't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge by appearance only, all right? Good. All right, two more. Don't give up your day job. Maybe that's what you're thinking of me right now, all right? So don't give up your day job, all right? Meaning you may not be very good at something, right? Okay. How about shaking the trees? Okay. It means trying to get some action out of somebody or what, or trying to get a reaction or disturb, right? So shaking the trees. And if I had a title for my message tonight, it's going to be called Shaking the Trees. Shaking the trees, Luke chapter 19. Some of you might be familiar with this passage of Scripture, but it's a very familiar story. You know, we're not going to read it just yet. So if you were to look at the message of the entire Bible, you know, what would it be? You know, I'm sure I could go around the room tonight and get lots of good answers. You know, it is God revealing himself to mankind. It is God revealing his plan to us. You know, it's his plan of salvation for everyone. You know, from the Old Testament, where it was all about ritual and different things, and we couldn't live up to that standard. And, you know, Jesus came into the world and gave us grace. And that's a great message. You know, or somebody put it, you know, it's an acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, it does give us words to live by, no doubt. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it tells us it's God-breathed and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished for all good works. You know, if I read that passage of Scripture correctly, it isn't just to be absorbed, but it should be shared as well. He's created us. He's given us this word that we could share these good works, that we could share in this. You know, in Acts chapter 1, a famous evangelism passage of Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, and I believe to us, that we are to be his witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that we're to reach from where we are as far as we can. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the message of Jesus Christ. We start from where we are and reach to where we can, you know, with this message of Jesus. You know, I may be limited in my physical reach, but not limited in my resource, in my spiritual reach. You know, I can't necessarily go to Russia. I can't necessarily go to Spain. I can't necessarily go to those places. I'm physically limited by that, but not in my spiritual sense where I can pray for those that have gone or provide resources to those that are going. You know, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, so we're to reach out. We're to reach those people that need Jesus. You know, tonight in our scripture, we're going to find a man that the crowd did not want to reach. They didn't want to reach him. The crowd was around Jesus, but this man did not fit their idea of who should be around Jesus. Didn't fit who should be around Jesus in their eyes. You know, part of it was this man's own fault. You know, as we get into the story, you'll kind of see that. But that does not matter to Jesus. He still reaches and shakes the tree, so to speak, wanting Zacchaeus to come down. You're familiar with the story. You know, Jesus began to shake the trees to get this man to acknowledge what he needed. You know, let's look at our passage of Scripture here in chapter 19. Maybe you sung as a child a song, you know, a little song that reminds you of this story. And, you know, I'm sure the kids still sing it, but Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Okay, there you go. All right. So, you know, we see in Luke chapter 19. Let's read it before I really get in trouble here, all right? So, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation is come to this house, for as much as he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That which was lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for these wonderful people, Lord. Many of them I know and I've worshipped with and I've grown up with. And Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for this church. And Lord, as we get into your word, I pray that you would just come and meet us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me. Lord, you've given me some frail words to say, and Lord, I pray that you would use them tonight. Lord, that we would realize that our need of sharing this good news of Jesus Christ to the world. We need to shake the trees. We need to arouse into action, to get some reaction, maybe disturb some situations in our life, Lord, that people will come to know you. And I pray, God, that tonight somebody here would just step up. You know, to acknowledge, I need to do what God has asked me to do. Or maybe that's in salvation, maybe that's in sharing some of your faith with somebody. But God, tonight I pray that you would just move. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, there's this is a well-known story, but it teaches us some powerful lessons about who Jesus is reaching to. You know, what do you know about Jericho? As he says here, he's entering into Jericho and he's passing through that. You know, I've read this week and I've studied, and you know, this was a very wealthy city. You know, it was part of a trade route, and this balsam ointment was carried through there, and it was a very precious ointment, and it was very expensive, and people, there was a lot of money that's going through the city of Jericho. You know, money was everywhere, and where money was present, the Roman government was present as well. The Roman government at this time was seeking a portion of that through taxation. You know, Rome didn't supply the tax collectors either. They weren't people that, they wouldn't send Roman citizens into those countries, but people of that time would bid on the service to try to become the tax collector. They would bid on that service. They had people of that area that would just kind of outbid each other, trying to get that portion of taxation for that part of the world or that part of the Roman government there. You know, Rome said, you collect this much for me, and you can tack on just a little premium there for yourself. And this brought a lot of cheating going on. That they would tack on this little extra that instead of just what Romans said they should take, they would tack on a little extra and make a burden for people to pay this tax. And Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector. If you were to read in other translations, it doesn't say publicans, but it says he's the chief tax collector. Not only did he collect taxes, but he had a group of people working for him as they collected taxes. He wasn't a well-liked man. He wasn't, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't like April 15th. I hate it. And so, you know, you can kind of relate the same way. You know, there was money in Jericho, but there were these tax collectors who were cheating on top of that. You know, Jesus enters Jericho and a crowd begins to gather around him and follow Jesus as he comes through the city. He was kind of like a rock star coming into town. This guy heals. This guy does all this great stuff. And, you know, he's coming through town and people were gathering around him. This gets Zacchaeus' curiosity aroused. You know, Zacchaeus, if you were to be politically correct, he was vertically challenged. He was vertically challenged. If you don't want to be politically correct, he was short. He was short. He went ahead of the crowd and he climbed up into this tree for this better view. But Jesus steps up to the tree and he starts a conversation with Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down because I'm going to lunch with you today. I'm going to your house today. Jesus kind of invites himself to be part of Zacchaeus' life. He shakes the tree. He shakes the tree. Zacchaeus is up in this tree and he begins to say, you know what? I want to arouse you into action. I want to get a reaction out of you. I want to disturb the situation that you currently find yourself in. You know, we need sometimes to shake the trees, so to speak, in people's lives to get them to see that hey, what you're doing right now isn't really the way to follow Jesus. You know, Zacchaeus, he comes down from the tree and he's changed forever. And there's a few things that I think that we can learn from this story as we reach out to those around us and begin to shake the trees, spiritually speaking, of people around us. We need to see that Jesus, he shook the tree. He shook the tree. But first of all, you know, externals should not guide who we think needs Jesus. Externals should not guide who we think needs Jesus. You know, the crowd wanted no part of sharing Jesus with Zacchaeus. They began to mutter. They began to complain. This man is going to home with sinners. How could he do this? If he was truly a spiritual teacher, if he was truly somebody of God, he wouldn't be around these sinners. But the crowd wanted no part of that. Externals, though, for us should not play a part in who we share Jesus with. You know, as we look around us, there are folks that we think don't need Jesus. Oh, he's too rich. He's too rich. He doesn't need Jesus. He's got it all going on. You know, they're too poor. You know, they're too far gone. I'll be benevolent to them, but, you know, I won't. They don't need Jesus. Oh, they're too far gone. You should see how they're just whacked out. They're crazy. It's insane. You know what? They're just too far gone. Well, they're too educated. They're too educated. They don't need Jesus. Surely they're not ones that I should reach out to. Oh, they're too much this and too much that. It's not our call who we need to share Jesus with. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. We're here. If we were to look at Zacchaeus, his affluence probably should have kept him from Jesus. He had position with Rome. He had power over people. He had wealth. Zacchaeus had it going on. But even with all that, Zacchaeus knew something was missing when confronted by Jesus. Something was missing. You know, some would think that you probably don't need Jesus when you've got it all. If I were to mention LeBron James, man, oh, he's got game, he's got money, he's got commercials, he's got all this. He doesn't need Jesus. Yes, he does. The same can work opposite way as well. We just look, you know, sometimes we look at affluence, they don't need Jesus, but what about lack of affluence? You know, I think of Acts chapter 4, What about a lame beggar that was sitting before the gate, right in the church doors? The religious people would pass by almost all the time, just watching him. Oh, well, we'll just throw a little change maybe his way. He doesn't need much. He doesn't need anything, you know. He's just there because of his circumstance. It's just that way. But one day, Peter and John happened by his way. And he said, and Peter and John said, look at us. You know, silver and gold, we don't have that. We can't give that to you. But what we do have is the name of Jesus. And we can give that to you. And in his name, I want you to rise and walk. And you think about the people that you come in contact. Oh, they made their bed. Why don't they just lie in it? Those people right there, they're just too far gone. You know what? I just don't want to get involved in that. They're alcoholics or they're drug addicts or they're just too far gone. I don't want to be involved in that. I can't help them. I can't make a disease go away. I can't make those things happen. But I do. This is what I do have. I have Jesus, and in his name, I know he has the power to raise them. External should not be the key for who we share Jesus with. Not only that, but how about appearance? You know, Zacchaeus, if we looked at him, appearance would have kept Zacchaeus from Jesus. He was short. He couldn't see over the crowd. He's not like us. He's not like us. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, right? You know, sometimes we think that, oh, they're just not like us. You know, I'm white middle-class people that we are, you know, they're just not like us. They can't do the same things. You know, they're not Southern gospel like we are. Sorry about that. But anyway, you know, they're just not like us. But God looks beyond that. He looks beyond appearance. I don't know how many of you came from a different background, but if suppose you were saved for 20 years. 20 years ago, if you were to look at yourself then and what you are now, what kind of dramatic change has God done in your life through Jesus? It's not the same person anymore. It's not up to us to look at appearance sake only for finding those people that need Jesus. If we were to pick, I would pick this person because they have something to give me. Or if I pick this person, they have something. Man, they would look good in the worship band. They would look good in the church. They would look good that way. What about the people that come in that don't look good? They stink or they just have problems that you can't handle on your own. We can't go by appearance only because we can't pick and choose who Jesus we share with, what Jesus we share. Appearance alone, Zacchaeus was short. Hey, you can't see Jesus, so what? The crowd said, we're going to follow him anyway. But Jesus had other ideas. How about approval ratings? Yeah, that would have kept Zacchaeus from Jesus too, right? You know, Zacchaeus was hated. We're right now starting the presidential thing, and we'll get approval ratings and all that garbage and everything that's going on there. But if we went by approval ratings only, I approve this person right here. I'll bring them in. I don't approve this person because I don't like where they live, what they do, what they say, hey, you know what? Don't worry about that because approval rating shouldn't matter because externals don't matter to God because he wants to change it from the inside out. Jesus looked and he began to shake the tree, so to speak. Everybody else wanted to pass the tree by, but Jesus shook the tree. It wasn't based on appearance. It wasn't based on approval. It wasn't based on affluence, but he knew that somebody needed him. And tonight I'm telling you that there's a lot of people that need Jesus. An external should not guide who we think needs Jesus. Second of all, everyone is broken no matter how things appear on the outside. Everyone is broken no matter how things appear on the outside. You know, Zacchaeus, he was rich. He was rich. It says he was wealthy. You know, come on, what else does he need? But think about it. Everyone has something in their life that needs a touch from Jesus. Think of the people Jesus encountered. Zacchaeus, a rich man. A woman caught in the act of adultery. The religious man who came to Jesus at night. Fishermen, just ordinary guys that he called out of their jobs. The lame, the deaf, the blind. But look at this. a guy that was with him for 3 years. Listen to his teaching. Listen to him. Watch the miracles. Watch all those things. He still denied even knowing Jesus. Everyone needs that encounter with Jesus. Needs that encounter with Jesus. And we need to make sure that we share Jesus. Everyone is broken no matter how it looks on the outside. Well, he was with Jesus. He denied knowing him. Peter, that's Peter. And you think about it. Maybe you're sitting there and thinking that someone, you know, my son or my daughter, my cousin, whatever it is, they're just too far gone. They're too far gone. Or maybe you came into church tonight and you thought you were the one that's too far gone. But you're not tonight. Everyone has problems. If you were to go around the room tonight, I'm not here because I'm good enough. I'm not here because I've got it all figured out. I'm not here tonight. You know what? Probably 10 or 15 years ago, I was a little arrogant. I stood and I preached and different things, and I've learned a whole lot in the past 15 years. I don't have it going on. I don't have it all figured out. I've got a mess. I've got problems. I've got things that I have to deal with. But I'm so glad that when those problems drive me to different places, the best place that they drive me is to my knees. They drive me to my knees. Everybody, no matter how it looks on the outside, they've got problems. They've got issues. Maybe you think somebody has it all together. I don't need anything. So I'll pass on Jesus. But that's not true. Everybody is broken. Amen. Everybody is broken, no matter how it seems on the outside. The homeless, the banker, the homemaker, the machinist, the nurse, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs Jesus. Thirdly, encounters with Jesus occur in different circumstances. You know, I didn't study this out, but how many of Jesus' encounters were in a church? How many of Jesus' encounters in the New Testament were in a church? Yes, he went to a temple and he did that and he spoke before them. But how many one-on-one encounters did he have in a church? He was at a tree here. He was at a well. He was at a graveyard. He was by a pool. He was in a house. I think churches are needed for growth, for fellowship and prayer. Acts 2:42 tells us that. And most, you know, it tells us that almost the Old New Testament is written to churches. So don't get me wrong. But encounters with Jesus sometimes don't happen in the pew. Most of all, they probably don't happen in the pew. What happens is you look over the back fence, share what Jesus has done for you, and that's where it takes place. You know, Jesus encounters can happen in different ways. How many of you have been driving up and down Cleveland between West 110th and 150th on Lorraine Avenue recently? Did you know that Cleveland is one of the designated refugee placements sites in the United States? The United States government places refugees in our midst. And the church that I'm a part of, they've got two missionary candidates that are right there in that area, trying to work with these different groups. There's people from Sudan. There's people from all different places. You know, we've heard about Syria and those things, but refugees have been a part of Cleveland for quite a while now. You know, you wouldn't recognize the signage up on some of those stores as you drive by them on Lorraine Avenue anymore. But in this past World Cup series, I was able to participate And I get together with some of these refugees because, you know what, they don't necessarily know what church is all about. But I went and was part of that World Cup interaction there. And I was able to rub shoulders with people I didn't understand. But there's one thing that you can do when you're talking with people. They know a difference when somebody loves them, when somebody cares about them, when somebody is concerned about them. So it all starts there. Encounters with Jesus don't always happen where you think they should happen. You know, these two young couples, they're seeking these folks so that they can encounter, have them encounter Jesus. You know, this one, you know, I was kind of hesitant to mention it, but you think about it. Angie is part of a ministry called VIP, Value, Influence, and Purpose. 10 years ago, this ministry would have brought But she's reaching out into the adult entertainment industry. That, you know, there's clubs everywhere. You go up and down Brook Park Road. But she's reaching out into these places with a group of ladies. You know, and it could be something that we kind of brush off and say, no, I don't want to be part of that. You know, I just can't. But people need Jesus. People need him. Everybody's not going to come in a suit and tie. Everybody that you encounter is not going to look like you. Everybody that you encounter is not going to carry a KJV under their arm. But they still need Jesus. And we need to get that message out to them. And like I said earlier, it could be just a conversation across the back fence of a neighbor. It could be someone helping somebody fix a car. It could be a lot of different things. We need to reach. We need to shake the trees. We need to shake the trees because they're not coming to us. We need to shake the trees and get out there among them. In the NIV, in verse 5, it says that when he reached the spot. I thought that was kind of neat that he said reached. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to come to him. He reached the spot. He came to the place. You know, that struck me. We need to reach out, go to where they are. Not participate, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should participate, but I am saying that you should reach and get to where they are. We need to reach out beyond these walls. These walls are great. They're not here to insulate us. Or isolate us. They're here to kind of keep us warm in the winter, cool in the summer. But they're not here to keep us from people. We need to go beyond these walls to reach out to those that in our communities and you know what, in our Judea, Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world. Number 4, we need to expect opportunities to sometimes change our plans. We need to expect that sometimes opportunities change our plans. The easy thing for Jesus to do would have kept walking through Jericho. It would have been the easy thing. You know, the crowds were around. Oh, Jesus, you're healing. Oh, this is great. You fed us. This is wonderful. You know, that he could have followed all those things. But he didn't. He went to the tree. He shook the tree and had lunch with an outcast. You know, okay, I know that it's Jesus and he was always on mission. Don't get me wrong there. But from our vantage point, the easy thing would have been to just keep walking. I go to church. I read a few scriptures. I sing. I do those things. I could have just kept on walking. Instead of we ignore the need. We ignore the need. 10 years ago, right about now, I went to Faith Church. 3.5 years I was at Faith Church. God moved me from there. I'm at another church now. And I wouldn't have expected to be where I'm at today. I would have never thought that I would reach out into some of those places that I've reached out. But God somehow changed my plans. When is the last time that your plans were changed for the message of the gospel? When is the last time your plans changed because of the message that you had of Jesus to somebody? Jesus went home for a meal with a sinner. Can you believe that? He went home for a meal with a sinner. The crowd didn't like it. But it leads me to the last point. I want you to endeavor to keep the mission before you. The mission before you. Zacchaeus was changed, not because of the crowd, but because Jesus shook the tree. He wasn't changed because of the Roman government. Government will change nobody. But Jesus shook the tree. We need to keep the mission before us. Transformation came to Zacchaeus. In verse 8 and 9, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to this house." Transformation can come. But look what Jesus said the mission was that he even came to earth for. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I don't always know what it looks like to share Jesus. I don't know. You know, in the past you could share Romans Road and you could do all those things, but now it might be establishing a relationship and getting there to the Romans Road. I don't know what it looks like. Could be handing out a gift bag to somebody with a little note that said, if you have any questions, give me a call. I don't know. Jesus is shaking the trees of people. But he needs harvesters. Because when the fruit falls, he needs somebody to gather it up. The fruit is there. It's whether we have people that are there to harvest. He's come to seek and save the lost. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus went to a Pharisee's house for a meal. Another meal. He liked eating places. Went with Zacchaeus, and he went to the Pharisee's house. The Pharisees, though, they weren't worried. There's a lot of them. They weren't worried about really necessarily Jesus doing anything. Why don't we just assimilate him into our Pharisaical crowd? The Pharisees were worrying about their position. You know, hey, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to do this. I must be near the host of the banquet. I must be up here. They were more worried about their sitting position than their influence for the kingdom. You know, they were more worried about their position and less about the attraction of the God that they were supposedly serving. You know, Jesus told a parable about this banquet. You know, while he was there, he healed a man. And it was the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were, wow, you can't heal on the Sabbath day. This is crazy. Why don't you wait till tomorrow? Our rules say that you can't do this. But Jesus said there was a need there, and I need to take care of that need. So Jesus told a parable about this banquet. You know, the initial guest list, you know, it was sent out. You know, these were the people that should have come, and they should have been part of it. But they came back, and the servants that sent out the invitations came back to the master and said, you know what? You've got excuses here. Somebody bought a field and they said they couldn't come. Somebody bought oxen and they couldn't come. Somebody married a wife and they couldn't come. So the man of the banquet there, he started looking around and he said, you know, my house, this banquet hall needs filled. It needs filled. I want you to go out and compel them to come in. I want you to force them, so to speak, to come in. He says, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Wait, that's not the initial guest list. Doesn't matter. He said, go out, bring the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. Compel them. Go out to people. Your initial guest list that you have, it may not be what you thought. Well, if they're not coming, go on. Find the crippled, the lame, the blind, and everybody else that needs this message to be in the banquet hall. Go out to them. We need to reach people for Jesus. Externals should not guide us into who we think needs Jesus. Everyone is broken, no matter how it looks on the outside. Encounters with Jesus occur in different circumstances. Expect opportunities to share Jesus to sometimes change your plans. But always endeavor to keep the mission clear. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. We may be part of the risen Son here, the house of the risen Son, but the song said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. But, you know, I'm glad for that tonight. T'was grace. It wasn't anything more. I didn't deserve it. just because my father is a pastor, just because I come from a good home, that does not make me deserve heaven whatsoever. I needed grace. He came to seek and save people like me, people like you. What's your mission? Reach. Shake the trees. Shake the trees tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I know this probably wasn't real popular. Lord, because maybe tonight I shook some trees. But God, I've done what you've asked me to do. So Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that people would step up to what you've asked them to do. I don't, you know, people say that I want to do more for God. How about we just say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. And we start there. Heavenly Father, I know that people mean well, but God, just help us to do what you've asked us to do. And Lord, when we do that, I think that there's going to be some Zacchaeuses that come our way. I think there's going to be some women caught in the act of adultery that are coming our way. I think there's going to be some guys that are caught in the tombs and nobody can tame them that will come our way. I think there will be people, Lord, that are religious that will come our way. So Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you would move upon us now and help us realize that you came, Lord, not to make us comfortable, not to make us churchy, not to make us religious, but Lord, that you came to seek and save the lost. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.